He's used me in a great way tonight to deliver the truth of the Bible and help us to understand this important truth and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the part of this that I wanted to talk about is the part beginning in Ecclesiastes 11:9, and it kind of spills over into chapter 12. And this is really just my first point out of Ecclesiastes, but I want to talk tonight about the subject of wasting your time. You know, there's so much of our life that we just waste. So much time that we waste. And if you think about it, time is such a precious commodity. I mean, we all wish we had more time. We're all busy. We all seem like we don't have enough time for what we need to do. But there's so much time that we waste in our life. And so I want to talk about tonight not wasting any time. But let me start by saying this. Number one, don't waste any phase of your life. What do I mean by that? Well, look down, if you would, at your Bible in Ecclesiastes 11:9. And first of all, I want to say, when you talk about wasting time, some people waste whole sections and whole periods of their life. Look at verse number 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." What is he saying there? He's saying, go ahead, young person. Go ahead, teenager. Go ahead, young adult. Go ahead, young married person. Go ahead and just cheer yourself and walk in the ways of your heart and do what you want to do and do everything your way and nuts to God and nuts to church and nuts to think of things of God. But know thou that for all these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. He says, so put away the sorrow from your heart. Put away the evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What does vanity mean? It's meaningless. It's empty. It's worthless. It's vain. It's a waste of your time. What is he saying here? You know, people have this philosophy. So number one, you know, don't waste any phase of your life, like your youth, like when you're young. A lot of people waste their life when they're young because they think that they're going to wait till they get older to serve God or wait till they get older to get serious about the things of God. And so they go out and they say, well, I just want to be a kid a little bit longer. Yeah, you know, the word teenager is never found in the Bible. I don't know if you know that. The word teenager is never found in the Bible. You know what, teenager, the word teenager has only been around for less than 60 years. Did you know that in the English language? You know what it used to be called? A young man. A young lady. That's what it used to be called. Isn't that the truth? There didn't used to be no such thing as a teenager. There was a child, and then there were young men and young ladies. Why? Because we've created this segment called a teenager who is this supposed to still be acting like a little kid, still playing around and wasting their life. And you know, our society even drags it out by then, after they get out of school, then they go to college for 4 years. And what do they do there? They play around, they party, they have all the fun. I'm going to tell you something. I hope that when my kids are teenagers, that they start to act like adults. You say, well, a teenager is kind of halfway between an adult and a child. Well, I wish that they would act a little more like the adult side. Because God says here, look, being a kid is not something to relish and hang on to. I mean, it's, you know, it's great for my kids in the back to act like a little kid and play all day and just, what do? You know, they play, they run around and have fun and do all this stuff. And look, I'm all for having fun, but I'm going to tell you something. As you get a little bit older in your life, when you become a teenager and a young adult, it's time to start using your time wisely. Don't just float through life. Don't just go around playing and see how you can get from the next ice cream cone to the next pizza parlor and the next movie theater and the next video game. Hey, there's more to life than just play. There's more to life than just going, cheering your own heart, as it says here. Walking in your own ways. Doing your own thing. Hey, you ought to be thinking about the rest of your life. You ought to be thinking about other people. You ought to think about serving God. You ought to think about doing something with your life when you're young. You see, if you start out with a pattern of living life all about you when you're young, you just might end up living that way your whole life. If you start out that pattern when you're young. Or you could start now serving God when you're young. Start now reading the Bible incessantly when you're young. Start now being faithful to church. Now being a soul winner. And you could be that way for the rest of your life. You know, people have said to me before, people have come to me and said something to me, you know, old friends from when I was a teenager, from when I was a kid or a young person. And they come to me and say, Steve, you know, because they know me more as Steve, not as Pastor Anderson. They come to me and say, Steve, you used to love the rock music, you know? What happened to you? What's wrong with you? You used to love all this worldly stuff. You used to love the movies and everything. You know, what happened? And you know what I say, you know what I say when people say that to me? I say, well, when I was a child, I quote this verse from, I say, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I didn't want to just hang. I just didn't become one of these people who's just playing all the time. And you know, I run into people all the time. They're 21, they're 24, they're 25, they're 27. And it's like you're talking to a teenager. It's like you're hanging around with a teenager. They don't want to grow up. I don't care. I mean, even you teenagers here, you should be growing up right now. You should be acting like an adult right now. You should be getting serious about life right now. Don't waste your life when you're a teenager on just fun, fun, fun. Life is not all about fun. Now, I'm all for having fun. Anybody who knows me knows I like to have fun and have a good time. But you know what? I don't go through life living for fun every day. That's not the way I am at all. If you know me, I'm very serious. Why? Because there's so many important things to be done in life. I don't want to waste my time with just playing all day, like a little kid. It's time for America to grow up. It's time for the men of America to grow up. You ever see these guys that are like 40 and 50 years old, but they dress like they're a teenager? I mean, isn't it just ridiculous? And they probably think they're so cool. But those of us who really are young, you know, we look at them and just say, come on, who are you kidding? You know, you see, or even ladies that are in their 40s and 50s who dress really trendy and cool. And you're just, come on, who are you fooling? You know, you're not a kid anymore. Grow up! There's no glory in acting like a kid when you're not a kid. And when you're a teenager, you ought to be looking forward and not backward in your life. And you ought to be gearing yourself more toward being an adult, being serious, not wasting any time. But look what he says in verse number 1, and I'll show you why. Remember now thy Creator, for chapter 12, verse 1, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. He's talking about your eyesight becoming dim as you get older. Nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. You ever notice how elderly people begin to tremble? They begin to shake. Their hands can't be steady anymore as they get older. And the strong men shall bow themselves. That's talking about the fact that their shoulders begin to bow down and droop. These strong muscles in their shoulders. And then it says, and the grinders cease because they're few. He's using an analogy here. He's using very poetic language describing their teeth are not working anymore because there aren't that many left. And so he says, the grinders cease. Because they're, who's there tonight? The grinders cease because they're few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. You ever notice how elderly people get up really, really early? And they have, you know, they have breakfast at like 4 in the morning. Lunch is like 9 a.m. Dinner is 3 o'clock. And then they're in bed at like 6 o'clock. He says, they shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You don't really see them, you know, up on a roller coaster that much, or bungee jumping, or skydiving, or anything like that. And he says, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or if the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. What's he saying here? He's talking to somebody who's very young, and he's trying to tell them that old age will come upon you before you even know it. He's talking to somebody who's not, he's not talking about somebody that's middle-aged. He's saying to the young person, you better remember God now. You better serve God now, because before you know it, You're going to put it off and put it off and put it off, and your whole life will have gone by. And then you'll be too old, and you'll use this excuse. Well, I'm too old. I'm tired. I don't have any teeth anymore. You know, I'm all hunched over. I can't see right. You see, you don't want to waste any phase of your life. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 4 in the New Testament. Now, somebody made this statement to me. I remember when I was young, when I was 18, I remember a preacher said to me, he said, the way that you live between the ages of 18 to 24 will be the way that you live for the rest of your life. That will determine, it'll set the course for your whole life. And I remember he said that, and I remember sitting in the pew when I heard him say that, and I said, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I live for God from the time that I'm 18 to 24. I'm going to make sure that I'm out soul winning. And I remember when I was 18 years old, I remember at age 18 going out soul winning at least twice a week, every week, serving God, winning souls. And I was worldly. I didn't have a lot of guidance, and I hadn't been in a fundamental Baptist church for that long. You know, I just started going right when I turned 17. But I just decided that I wanted to not waste my life. I decided that I wanted to start young in everything that I did and do something great with my life. I thank God that I can stand up right now at age 26 and be pastoring a church, preaching the Bible. How do you think I got to the point that I'm at right now, to where I could stand up and preach the Bible at age 26 years old? How do you think I got there? Do you think I just started about 2 years ago or 3 years ago studying the Bible? Yeah, about 4 years ago, I woke out of my drunken stupor of spending ages 18 through 23. I was just so drunk and partying, and I just didn't really care about anything. And then all of a sudden, I was, you know, 23 years old, and I decided to start studying the Bible. Now I'm pastoring when I'm age 26. That's not what happened. You know why I'm up here preaching right now? Because when I was 17, I was memorizing whole books of the Bible. That's why. Because when I was a little kid even, because when I was Solomon's age, I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't even know how to win a soul. I never won anybody to Christ until I was 17 years old. But I'll tell you something, when I was Solomon's age, I used to sit in my room all by myself and open the Bible and sit and read the Bible. Don't waste any phase of your life. The knowledge, look, you teenagers right now, if you study and read the Bible right now, for a long, I mean, I'm not talking about this little, you know, open it up and read a chapter or something. I'm talking about if you actually get into the Bible and sit down for an hour, 2 hours, and sit down and really read the Bible, you don't know this, you don't understand this, but what you're learning when you read the Bible is information that you must have, like 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. And if you don't read it now, a couple years from now, you're going to be married. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know how to live your life. You're not going to know what church to go to. You're not going to know how to have a marriage. You're not going to know how to raise kids. You got to learn now how to have the marriage. You got to learn now how to rear the kids. I didn't learn child rearing as I went. Oh, well, I have my first kid. I better figure out what I'm doing. Hey, when I was a young teenager, I was studying the Bible, and I was deciding how I was going to raise my kids. I mean, when I was 15 years old, when I was 14 years old, when I was 17 years old, I sat down and decided, this is how I want to raise my kids. What does the Bible say about raising my kids? You got to think ahead. You got to look to the future, and you need to be not wasting this phase of your life. Because if all of a sudden when you're older you try to serve God when you're in your 20s or something, then you're going to have to make up for all that lost time. You're going to have to get caught up again. The information that you should be reading right now is information you must have 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but you're not going to be able to get it that fast. You're going to have to start now getting it. Don't waste your time. Read the Bible. Learn what you need to learn. Start winning souls now. But not only that, you don't want to waste your youth, young people, but not only that, people that are getting older, don't waste that older phase of your life. I told you to turn to James, but forget about that. Turn, if you would, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, and I'm going to read this great scripture for you. Joshua 14. We're talking about not wasting your time. Don't waste your life. Number one, don't waste your youth. Use the time of your youth to learn the Bible. Because that wisdom that you'll get, that understanding that you'll get, is what will guide you for the rest of your life. You can live life and be a fool. You can waste your life. You can be an idiot with your life. Or you can learn what you need to learn now, and that wisdom will guide you the rest of your life. It'll always be with you. But look down, if you would, at your Bible, at Joshua 14, verse 7. I love this passage of Scripture. Let's read it together. Joshua 14, 7. 40 years old was I, this is Caleb speaking, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So how old is he now? 85. The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. See, here's a man who said, I don't want to waste my twilight years. I don't want to waste my older years. Don't ever get to the point where you think that you're older now and you've done your time. Hey, God is not finished with you yet. Did you know that if God was finished with you, you wouldn't be here anymore? That's the truth. Because when you're finished, why wouldn't God just take you home to heaven? Why would he just leave you here? Just to be miserable or something? Just to endure the pain of life? No, God has left you here. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. If you're still breathing air, it's because God has something that he wants you to do. God has a will for your life that only you can do for him. God has people that you need to win to Christ. Younger people that you need to teach things and train things. God will use you even if you're 85 years old. And Caleb said, I don't want to waste my life. I'm not going to spend 85 years serving God and then retire. He said, no, I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm going to do the greatest feat of my entire life at 85 years old. I'm going to do something greater than I've ever done in my entire life now that I'm 85 years old. So don't waste any phase of your life. Every phase of your life is so crucial. I mean, young kids in the back, my children, don't waste your life now. Be soul winning now. Learn how to win other kids to Christ. Win people to Christ. Get people saved. Read the Bible. Do something with your life. Only one life so soon is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The people who start young, they get the head start on everybody else. The people who start young in anything, it's like exponential. You know, I was thinking about money. You ever hear, you know, there's all these financial, and I'm not one of these financial guys because, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I don't sit around thinking about money all the time. But, you know, if you listen to these financial guys, this is what they all tell you. If you want to have a lot of money at retirement, you got to start putting it away when you're young, right? And if you, this is the way it works. If you put away like $50 a month or some tiny amount, but if you start doing it when you're like 16, it just starts growing so much, you know, if you put it in these long-term things, it'll get huge. And so let's say you're putting away, you're 18 and you're putting away, you know, $100 a month. And you do that your whole life, you'll have this huge retirement with all the interest and everything from that. Tons of retirement. But you know, if you start like even 8 years later, you have to like double the amount that you're putting away, literally. That's just the way the math works, because the way the numbers multiply, you know what I'm talking about. And so you're the only one who knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, Mr. Moneybags here, fancy car, fancy house, you know, thinks he's so cool. You're nothing. But anyway, I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, it's the same thing with serving God. See, we're not laying up treasures upon earth, but we're laying up treasures in heaven. And I venture to guess that the people who start laying up the treasures when they're young, even 8 years younger maybe than the next guy, it's like they could probably have twice as much treasure. Because the treasure that you earn in heaven, the impact that you have in your life is also exponential. Because soul winning is exponential. You know, you win people to the Lord, and then they win people to the Lord, and then they win people to the Lord. The younger you start, the more you'll get out of life. But not only that, you've got to go all the way to the finish line. Those that are elderly, those that are older, those that are middle-aged. Hey, don't leave it to the young people. Oh, we'll let all these young whippersnappers go soul winning. You know, you be out soul winning. Don't come up with, I'm too old, I'm too... It's funny, people that are too old and decrepit to go soul winning, but they go to the grocery store. They can't walk, but they go to the mall, they go to this, they go to the fair, they go to everything else. But then when it comes to soul winning, all of a sudden they can't walk. Right? Well, look, nobody's asking you to go soul winning with us, like, you know, for 3 hours or something. Go soul winning for a half hour. You know? Or go soul winning in a wheelchair, for all I care. You know, go soul winning in a rest home. Sit on the couch next to somebody and talk to them. I've done that before many times. And so, there, you know, there's really no excuse. Whatever phase you are in life, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, you should be using that time of your life for the Lord. But not only that, you're in the book of Joshua, right? Turn back to verse number one, chapter number 1 of Joshua. Chapter number 1, verse number 8. Not only do you not want to waste any phase of your life, but number 2, don't waste any of your time in your day. Look what I mean here in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, what's the next word? Success. The only time that the word success is used in the entire Bible, Joshua 1:8. God says, you want to be successful in life? Do you want to prosper? Do you want to make your way prosperous? How are you going to do it? Well, you must have the book of the law, the Bible, in your mouth day and night. Day and night. Now, what does that say to me but that we should not be wasting any time? God gives us a 24-hour day. He's saying, don't waste any time. Day and night be meditating in the Bible. Psalm 1:2. You don't have to turn there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought, or worked is what that means, with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Therefore watch and remember, Acts 20:31, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So what did he do? He said night and day, meditate on the Bible. Study the Bible. Read the Bible night and day. Pray night and day. Read night and day. He says work night and day. He's talking about just working. Producing something. Getting something done. Work. He said, soul winning night and day. He says, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What's God saying? I mean, is he saying just 24 hours a day, you just never stop? That's not what he's saying. I mean, obviously you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to take care of some personal needs. But what he is saying is, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Do something with your life. Night and day, be spiritually minded, doing something for God. There's so much wasted time in your day. You know, people often ask me, how do you get things done? How do you work? You know, I worked 60 hours in my job this week. How do you work 60 hours and write sermons and pastor the church and do all this stuff and have the family and do this and that? How do you get it all done? The key to getting things done is just not to waste any time. There's so much time that you waste in your life if you really sit down and think about it. I mean, have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that there's 24 hours in a day? So let's say you sleep a good 8-hour night, which is a good thing to do, right? Sleep 8 hours. Well, that leaves you with 16 hours in a day. Oh, well, I work full-time. Okay, that's 8 hours. That gives you another 8 hours. I mean, stop and think about it like this. So you've got another 8 hours besides sleep and work. This is Monday through Friday. And in that 8 hours, let's say you spend an hour grooming yourself, you know, or ladies, 3 hours, whatever, you know. Let's say you spend an hour showering, brushing your teeth, blah, 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 whatever. You know, let's say you spend another hour eating. That's still just 6 hours of just discretionary time. 6 hours to do something. I mean, there's a lot more time in the day. It's like, what are you doing? Is what I want to say to a lot of people. There's a lot more time in that day. Do you think you could read the Bible for 15 minutes? And I don't recommend only reading the Bible for 15 minutes, but good night. Can you find it? Oh, I'm too busy. That's a lie. You're wasting your time. You spend so much time just sitting around, just wasting it, just sit down and not doing anything, sitting in front of the TV. You know why? You know why I got rid of my TV? You know why I threw my TV in the trash? It wasn't even because I thought TV was a sin. Because I got rid of TV a long time before I thought that it was a sin to watch all that filth. I really just got rid of TV because I was tired of it wasting my time. Literally. I mean, I would still watch TV at other people's houses. But I got rid of my TV because I found myself sitting down in front of the TV and all of a sudden 4 hours had just gone by. And I hadn't done anything. Same thing with video games. I used to love to play video games. Sit down and play video games. All of a sudden it's 5 hours later. What did I accomplish for God? I mean, did that bring me closer to God? Did that teach me the Bible? Did that get anybody saved? No. Did it make me any money? Did it help my family? Did it bring me closer to my wife and my children? No, it's just a waste. You're just wasting your life. You say, are video games a sin? You know, why are you wasting your life? Because, look, if you play video games every once in a while, that'd be one thing. But people who play video games a lot. Like, they play them every day. You know how these people are. And I used to be one of them. I used to play video games. I'll tell you right now, when I was a little kid, there were some days, and I'm not exaggerating, when I got up, had breakfast, started playing video games, stopped for lunch, went back to video games, took a dinner break, went back to video games, and went to bed. And I mean, I'm talking about 16 hours of video games. I'm not kidding. I promise you, that there have been more days than I can even count that I've played video games for 12 to 15 hours. And I'm dead serious right now. I'm not kidding. I could tell you what game it was. It was great. You know? But the thing is, what a waste! What a stupid waste of my life. Huh? To just sit around and play a video game all day. Oh, it's fun! So what? Is your life about having fun? You know, and by the way, fun is something that you reserve for certain times. You know, every once in a while, you go out and have some fun. But if you're having fun every day, it's not even fun anymore. You just become a spoiled little brat that just, everything has to be your favorite little fun thing. You hang on to your Bible for your long preaching. Look, you're not listening when you're throwing your Bible up in the air and dropping it on the ground. And you have the gall to sit in the front row and do it. At least do it in the back where nobody can see you. But anyway, the sin of sitting in front of this stupid video game is that you're wasting your time and you're wasting your life. Do something productive with your time. God here is commanding us in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart. That's kind of like thou shalt not steal. It's a command. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Thou shalt meditate. Does that sound like a command? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I remember when I was in college. I remember other students in college would be chit-chatting between classes. Hanging around, talking, blah, blah, blah. They'd go buy a bag of chips and some ho-hos and sit down and chat and everything. And you know what I was doing? I would just do my homework between classes. And I would get all my homework done between classes, and I never had to do any homework outside of school. And then I could spend that time working my job, being with my wife, being with my kids. How do you do it? Because I don't waste time. You can't go through life just wasting your time and then you wonder why you don't know the Bible. You wonder why you don't want anybody to Christ. Because you're wasting your time on a bunch of fluff. I mean, think about it. You could work in an hour a day of reading the Bible, an hour a day of prayer, an hour a day of soul winning. You'd be like the greatest Christian in the world. I mean, if you could just work that into your schedule. Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then that's just Monday through Friday. What about Saturday and Sunday? You got all kinds of time. And so you'll find that if you don't just dwindle your time away, waste your time. You know, when I'm standing in an elevator, I got this in my pocket all the time, New Testament. I pull it out and I memorize the Bible. Pull it out and read the Bible. Why don't you just keep one of these with you? If you don't have one of these, ask me, I'll give you one of these, New Testament. Carry this around everywhere you go so you don't waste any time. I remember when Brother Dave first started coming to the church, I told him that I listened to the Bible on CD a lot. He went out and bought the Bible on CD. I mean, good night. Just in his drive to work and home, I mean, how he just, because every time I get in his car, I want to read. Sometimes I'm like, look, I'm talking. Turn that off. You know, he's always got the, he has the Bible on CD every time I get in his car. You get in, it's like, you know, just jumps right in. Just the Bible on CD, the Bible on CD. Now look, just from playing it in his car, he's probably listening to more Bible just in his daily commute to work, just in going up to the store, than some preachers even read the Bible. Why? Why? How much effort does that really take you? No effort. You just push the on button, and it just you just sit back and drive, and there it is. It takes no effort. But what he's doing is he's not wasting his time. See, he's got an hour of driving a day probably, you know, if you average it out, just all the errands and everything. He sits in the car an hour a day. Hey, that's an hour of Bible reading. And he didn't even have to take any extra time. What else was he going to do? Listen to some moron on some talk radio show? Some blowhard? Some windbag? Some moron? Some unsaved idiot who doesn't even know the Bible? Talking about politics or talking about the weather, talking about sports, all the stupid stuff that doesn't matter? No! He's listening to the Bible on CD for 1 hour a day. That's 1 hour of Bible. That's a lot of Bible reading. 1 hour a day. Do you read the Bible for 1 hour every day? You ought to, but he's doing it. He doesn't even, he's not even picking up a Bible. He's not even taking any extra time. See, this is what I'm trying to illustrate. If you don't waste the time that you have, you won't be constantly saying, I don't have time to read the Bible. Because you could use the time that you have waiting in an elevator, waiting in line, at the post office. Well, I'm just embarrassed that if somebody sees me reading my Bible, and shame on you if you're embarrassed about Jesus Christ. You know, sitting around at school. Bring your Bible to school and read it. Bring it to school and read it between classes. Oh, I'm afraid what my friends will think. Then shame on you if you're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I'm afraid people are going to laugh at me. You know, when I was in high school, I brought my Bible to school every day and nobody ever laughed at me. Never was I laughed at one time. Never. I'm telling you the honest truth. Nobody laughed at me and made fun of me. Now, they made fun of the kid with the stupid, corny Christian t-shirt. They made fun of these geeky, you know, cheesy, bubbly Christian new evangelicals and everything, but they never made fun of me for having a big black King James Bible. There's just nothing funny about it. What are you going to laugh at it? A big black Bible, nobody laughs at this. What's funny about that? It's a black book. Look, I said it's not funny. Quit laughing. It's a black book with white pages and black ink. Ha ha. Laugh it up. And I used to sit and read the Bible, and then you know what'll happen when you start to read the Bible? Kids will come up to you and say, what are you doing? Say, I'm reading the Bible. And they'll say, why are you reading the Bible? What are you reading about? And then what do? You start to give them the gospel, you get them saved. That's what you do. Just like when you get on an airplane. What do I do when I get on the airplane? I open my Bible and start reading it. And then what happens? Oh, you're reading the Bible. Oh, okay. And then, boom, start giving them the gospel. Get them saved. It's a perfect opportunity. Don't waste your time sitting on an airplane. Sitting in the car, get the Bible on CD. You say, I can't afford it. Get just the New Testament. It's like 18 bucks. You can go to the Dollar Tree and for $1 buy a King James Bible audio CD for $1 at the Dollar Tree of the King James Bible. Isn't that the truth? Who's seen those at the Dollar Tree? Yep, Virginia's seen them. And so you can get those for $1. You can afford it. Bring the New Testament with you. Bring the Bible to school. Put the Bible in the lunch pail. Get it out at work. Read it. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't hide what you are. Just be what you are. You know, people will have a lot of respect for you when you just be what you are. They won't laugh at you. They'll laugh at you if you're half in, half out. They'll laugh at you if you're one of these namby-pamby Christians. But wait, I mean, if you bring the Bible and you're serious about it, people will respect that. People will not laugh at you at all for that. They'll understand that. Bring it to work. Go ahead and bring it to work. Do you have the guts to bring it to work? Do you have the guts to put it in the lunch pail? Do you have the guts to put it in your brown paper sack when you go to lunch? Bring it with you, and you'll find yourself having so much time. Just take this challenge this week. Bring the New Testament with you, and see how many opportunities you have to pull it out and read it. You're always waiting for something. There's always times when you're sitting around and dead time. Get it out and read it. You'll find yourself reading the Bible for hours a day. Take time, take dead time, take a few moments, spend the time praying. Spend the time working. Spend the time getting something done with your life. Don't waste your life is what I'm saying. Your life is just going to get busier and busier the older you get. People that are older than me are probably busier than I am. And so, just don't waste your time. Use every bit of time that you have right now. But not only that, look at Ephesians chapter 5. And you know how I really got started, and I think I've told this story before, but how I really got started memorizing the Bible was because I got this job when I was 17. And my job was to run roller coasters at a little kiddie theme park called Thunderland, okay? And these, you know, the little planes would go up and down and the teacup ride and everything. And my job was literally to open the gate, the kids would get on, make sure they're all seated, make sure the little bar's down, push a green button, just stand there for about 3 minutes. And then 3 minutes later, I'd push the red button. And then I'd walk up, let the kids off the ride, let the new kids on, and I did that all day, and I just found myself, what am I just wasting my time here? I mean, I could be learning something. I'd be doing something. And so I began to bring cards with me of foreign languages that I was learning. I used to study a lot of foreign languages, and I'd have, you know, the English word on one side and the German word on the other side, or whatever particular language I was learning at that time. I was learning Romanian, Norwegian, and I'd have, you know, just these cards. And I'd do that, and you know what? I thought to myself, you know what? I'm spending my whole day, I remember I worked at Thunderland for a couple weeks doing that with the languages, and I said, you know, I'm spending my whole day learning these foreign languages, but I said, you know what? Wouldn't it be more valuable if I could be learning the Bible? Like, shouldn't I be putting God first in my life? Shouldn't the things of God be having preeminence? And I said, you know what? I'm still going to learn the languages, but I think I'm going to start memorizing Bible verses instead. But then I thought, well, if I'm going to learn verses, I might as well learn a whole chapter. And boy, just 8 hours a day, just standing there, I was able to learn a lot of Bible. Just not wasting the time that God gave me. You know, God gives us 70 years on this earth. God gives us 80 years on this earth. And you know, I think He expects us to use that time for Him because we're not our own, but bought with the price. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God's. You're going to find yourself otherwise getting to the end of your life, you wasted it. Or young person, you'll find yourself thrown into adult life, thrown into being married and having children, and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to teach your kids, you don't know how to live. That's what you should be preparing for right now. But look down at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. And the Bible reads, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." He's saying it's very foolish of you to waste time. It's very foolish of you, given the day that we're living in, given the days, the evil days that we live in, given the fact that we live in such an evil time, he said, given the fact that we're living in the last days as Christians, you are a fool to not redeem every moment, to redeem the time, to not waste your time, but to be wise in the use of your time. And look what he says next. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is but by understanding God's word and knowing God's word? And then he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, being filled with the Spirit denotes a person who just is completely filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, they eat, breathe, and sleep the Bible. Every thought is on God. Every thought is on the things of God. If you think it's extreme to come to church three times a week, how much are you really devoting yourself to God is what I want to know. I mean, if you think it's so extreme to have to come down here three times a week and spend an hour or whatever it is, good night. I mean, shouldn't your whole life be about God? Shouldn't your whole life? I mean, this is the way I see it. I can understand the guy who doesn't believe in God, who's an atheist or whatever, agnostic, and he just goes out and parties and does whatever he wants in life. I understand that guy. But for me to understand, if you believe in God, if you believe that you're really, literally going to spend eternity in heaven, millions and millions and millions of years with God, millions and millions and billions of years, and that you're only on this earth for 70 years or 80 years, I mean, if you really believe that, wouldn't your whole life just be wrapped up in living for God, if you really believe that? I mean, I can't understand somebody saying, yeah, I believe that God created the whole world. I believe Jesus is coming back someday. I believe I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But, you know, church just isn't that important. God's just not the biggest thing in my life right now, in this phase of my life. Right now, I'm just kind of being a kid. Right now, I'm just trying to have fun. Or right now, I'm just kind of older. Right now, I'm just trying to focus on the family for a while. And so right now, I'm just not spending a whole lot of time in the Bible. Good night. If God is real, which He is, then shouldn't our whole life be devoted to serving God 100% of the time? Every day? I mean, shouldn't every moment? I mean, Jesus said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. He said, even when you're eating, even when you're just sitting down to drink a drink of water or whatever it is, He said, you should be bringing glory to God. Every part of your life, every phase of your life, you should be thinking about God. I mean, when I'm spending time with my family, there's a purpose for that. When I'm just taking the kids and the wife out and having a fun time, there's a purpose in that. I'm trying to build a stronger relationship in my family. I'm trying to build a bond with my children and love and train my children. When I go to work, I have a purpose for going to work. To make money to pay for this whole thing, you know, to pay for my family and pay for everything I need. When I do anything, I don't ever want to just do something for no reason. Everything I'm doing should be somehow geared toward bringing glory to God. You see, God is glorified when I go to work for 8 hours and work hard because that's what He told me to do. When I have the money to pay my bills on time, that pleases God. When I sit down and read the Bible, God is pleased. When I pray, God is pleased. When I memorize the Bible, God's pleased. When I come to church, God's pleased with that. When I preach, God's pleased with that. When I sing the hymns and praises to God, that pleases God. When I spend time with my wife and kids, that's pleasing to God. Whatever I do, I should be able to say, this pleases God. This is bringing me closer to God. This is helping me to achieve my goals in life. This is helping me become a better pastor. It's helping me become a better father. It's helping me become a better husband. This is helping me become a better Christian. Everything in life should be like that. And I mean everything. What are video games doing to bring me closer to God? I mean, just think about it. I'm not trying to give you a browbeating if you ever sit down and play a video game, but what I'm trying to say is you got to think about the things that you do in your life. I can tell by these smiles that somebody's into video games here. You got to just stop and think, you know, is this really the best use of my time right now? You know, you could be reading the Bible. And you know, the Bible's a really exciting book once you start reading it. I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, boy, I love the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Great stories, exciting, interesting. You study the book of Revelation, interesting. Read Genesis, fascinating. Every time I read it, it's more exciting. It's great. Love to read it. And I'm also doing something with my life. It's just a shame. It's just a shame to get to a point in your life and look back and say, well, I just wish I hadn't wasted so much time. You're never going to get to the end of your life and say when you're 65 and 70 years old and say, you know what, man, I'm just really glad I really, you know, that I really got to the end of Zelda, you know, and Super Mario, and man, you're not going to sit down when you're 70 years old with your grandkids and say, you know, did I ever tell you about the time I was playing Tetris? I got to level 15 in Tetris. And by the way, I've been to level 15 in Tetris. I'm just bringing that up right now. I got to level 15 in Tetris, and you know, the big rocket goes up at the end to reward you for getting to level 15. You know, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to know what Tetris is. Probably people now don't even know what Tetris is. Kids probably don't even know what Tetris is. You think God cares about Tetris? Oh, man, you know, I'm so glad I spent hours in Pac-Man. You know, but the thing is, when you get to the end of your life, you're gonna thank God for every soul that you won to Christ. You're going to be thrilled. I mean, you're gonna be so thrilled. I mean, I'm so thrilled. When I was a kid and I didn't even maybe even know why I needed to be reading it, I just thank God that I read the Bible growing up. Because then by the time I was 17, 18, 19, I already knew a lot of Bible. Because I read it when I was a little kid. And even, you know, maybe I was just reading it for entertainment or somebody told me to read it. But thank God for every page of my Bible that I read. It was just like a head start in life to read all that Bible. You know, thank God for the time that I spent praying. And then sometimes the answers to my prayer came like 3 years later, 4 years later. And I thank God that 4 years ago I was praying. Because now I'm seeing the answer. I mean, you know, prayer, sometimes you'll see the answer 4 or 5 years later, literally. My sister was telling me just this week, she said that every 5 or 6 months or so, she writes down a list of everything that she's praying for. Just every 5 or 6 months in a book. And she just writes down every single thing that she's praying for right now. And then she just puts the book away. And then 6 months later, she gets it out and she said, it's amazing, almost everything is answered. Almost everything. And it's shocking, she said. And then some things, she'll write, you know, I don't even want that anymore. You know, because she was praying for the wrong thing. And she writes, you know, don't even want it. And then maybe a few of them haven't been answered. And then she'll add all the new stuff she's praying for. Put it away for 6 months, a year, and then get it out. And she said, I mean, everything gets answered. She said, it's amazing. Except things that I didn't want. You know, I thought that I didn't even want that. And so, you know, prayer is something where you reap later. I remember times when I was 10, 11, 12 praying, and then, you know, it seems like God began to answer those prayers even when I was an adult, things that I prayed for. And so, don't waste your time right now. Pray, read the Bible, go soul winning. Why don't you just sell out for God? Why don't you just be 100%? Why have Christianity be a part of your life? Why not just make it your whole life? You say, well, I'm not a pastor. So what? I just started being a pastor. You know, but sell out for God. Give it all to God. Every moment, every breath, every phase of your life, childhood, teenager, adult, young adult, middle-aged, elderly, just give it all to God. And don't waste 1 second of your life. And you'll thank God when you get to the end of your life and you can look back and say, I didn't waste my time. I didn't waste my life on stupid things. Video games, movies. You know, these things that just suck up our time and they're a waste. Don't waste your life. Redeem the time because the days are you. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray that everyone that's here would understand the importance of using their time wisely. Dear God, there's so much time that we just dwindle away and waste. We sit around. We talk about things that don't matter. We follow every twist and turn of politics, sports, whatever it is. Teenagers think that later is the time to serve God and to think about marriage and kids and what they're going to do with their life. When in reality, they should be studying and planning these things now as young people, dear God. I just pray that you would help everyone who's here tonight, this week, to just make a concerted effort every day this week to carry that New Testament around, carry that Bible around, pop in those CDs in the car of the Bible being read, and not just see what it's like to just try to see how much they can get done in one day if they don't waste any time. And God, some of us have more time than others. There are some people in this room that have a lot of spare time. Some people in this room are very busy, but dear God, every one of us could work at this thing of not wasting any time to use our ride on the plane for soul winning. To use a worthless conversation to talk to somebody about the things of God. to use spare time to study and read the Bible, dear God. Help us all do a better job.